be done by then. Yeah, I think we'll be done by then. Can I allow Ines to take us through? Ines?
Should I just move to that one? I'll just move there. Wait, there's no...
Oh, come. Come and sit.
I looked at the 2013 State of the Nation address as presented by the President, and I took issues that were highlighted for public works specifically. There are 13 points that I put down, but we must remember that these actually work together. If you look at the first three, it's basically...
Do you all have documents with you?
Oh, okay. If you look at the first three, it's basically to do with creating work opportunities, looking at unemployment, ensuring that poverty and inequality is dealt with. So the way it was put down, it's to increase the number of job opportunities and create decent work, using state-owned companies to provide unemployed youth with apprenticeships and learnerships, and then reducing inequality and unemployment by absorbing young people into the EPWP and Community Works program. So basically, I did an additional sort of an expanded version of these three areas. So if you look on page 2, this is the expanded explanation, which looks at specifically the impact on public works and under the Expanded Public Works Program, and then there is a section related to employment and youth skills development. Now, that's on page 3, the employment and youth skills development. So what I looked at was what was said in the department's own briefings, and also what National Treasury came up with, and also basically some of the funding that was made available. If you look at, for the Expanded Public Works Program, they have to create 4.5 million work opportunities by 2014. Now, the reason they actually chose 2014 is to actually look at the 8 Millennium Development Goals. And one of the reasons I actually highlighted the 2, which is Millennium Development Goal 1, in this instance, is because it is to do with halving poverty and unemployment by 2015. And that is specific to public works under the Expanded Public Works Program. What I also did, and I must apologize on the second page, the percentage seems to have decided that it wanted to be 25 and almost economically, but actually it's 25.5%, which was reduced. Oh, sorry. Third page. Excuse me. At the top of the third page, I actually looked at the quarterly labor force survey for the fourth quarter, and that's between October to December. And basically what they were saying was the unemployment rate was that it actually decreased by 0.6 percentage points, which is very little. And that the not economically active had actually increased by 180,000. And that discouraged work seekers had decreased by 58,000. But if you look at, before I get to this area, which is in the next section, it basically for public works under the Expanded Public Works Program specifically, it indicates how many work opportunities have been created to date, which the department provided as 2.6 million from 2009 to the current so 2012, the end of 2012. And there is this table, table one, which basically just indicates which contributing agents have contributed the amount of work opportunities that makes up the 2.6 million. So we've got the national department, the provincial department, and the municipalities. One of the things that, of course, happened last year was that the portfolio committee recommended that the incentive grant model be changed so that low-capacity municipalities can be provided an opportunity to actually take part in the Expanded Public Works program. So we will only know at the beginning of the next quarter what the actual contribution has been by these low-capacity municipalities. So I stopped there where I was talking about discouraged workers and youth and unemployed persons. I specifically looked at the employment of youth and the skills development for them because that is one of the points that was made in the initial State of the Nation address, which was to do with the second point of using the state-owned companies to provide unemployed youth with apprenticeships and learnerships and also to reduce inequality and unemployment by absorbing young people into the EPWP. Now, the creation of work opportunities, what I did here was I looked specifically at youth between the ages of 15 and 24, which I actually acknowledge as people who are not in school. They're not in school, they've recently matriculated, and they haven't completed tertiary degree or a diploma. So I'm looking at the 2012 census, which indicated how many youth were between the ages of 15 and 24 and what that amount was. The quarterly labor force says it's 3.3 million, but according to the census data, it's 3.7 million. Youth that are unemployed between the ages of 15 and 24. I have another table, the second table on page four, which indicates in which provinces the highest amount of unemployed youth are. And if you look at the table, it is Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. And one of the reasons that we might, well, infer, because we haven't actually looked, done any study on it, is that these provinces would have the highest number because that is where people go to seek work. The smaller town where, and then people would leave the smaller towns to actually go to these big cities to attempt to go and get work. So that is basically the youth in as per province, and on the next page, which is 5, you're looking at youth in years, but in two specific areas, which was the KZN one and Gauteng, just to indicate the district where the unemployment, where the highest unemployment levels lie. So basically, for the for Gauteng, it is the city of Joburg and Ekurhuleni, followed, it's basically Ekurhuleni, city of Joburg, and city of Tshwane that are the ones that have the highest unemployed youth in terms of that percentage that we have, the 819,389 youth for Gauteng. Then when we look at the one for KwaZulu-Natal, the highest number is at eThekwini Metropolitan, which is 34.5%. So just in terms of after that, when you look at this large proportion of youth that actually require to enter the workplace, when we looked at the census, it wasn't clear if some of these youth actually didn't want to enter the workforce. So we're just taking an overall view that it's work seekers, discouraged work. So it's a basically a very broad segment that's been put in here, and it's basically to do with how you can calculate the stats from the stats essay database. Basically, that's what informs the information here. And I think the one thing I might have left out is to do with the number of people, women and males, who are actually unemployed. Sorry about that. And it's basically just saying that the number of unemployed females is equal to 2 million, and that's 54.4%, while the males equals 1.7 million. So females in this instance are actually the highest number of unemployed, but in terms of females. Then we actually move on from there, which is still page 5, and it's how the department in itself was trying to actually deal with youth unemployment. So they reported that they actually, their human capital investment unit tried to address this by going by actually presenting an exhibit. And at the exhibit, they basically focused on providing information. They said that they had approximately 185 youth at that exhibit that they managed to actually give information. And one of the major sort of suggestions that was given to young people was that they should actually consider maths and science, and that they should actually improve, if they are doing maths and science, that they should actually improve that, because the higher your marks are in that, and that you will actually be able to enter the built environment profession, because that's one of the requirements. Then they also informed these students, because sometimes people usually have like two ideas if you haven't gone through skills, when you haven't gone through your school, where they tell you what options there are, and usually people go for medicine and law, but that's just now an aside and my opinion, which is not actually tested. But basically they were telling them, please consider engineering, architecture, quantity surveying, as well as project management, because these are one of the skills that are very scarce and that are required, specifically if you look at public works. They also indicated that they have a few programs that actually are there to assist in skilling young people. And these are listed on page 6, which basically is just indicating that they have a young professionals program, the internship program. And I think when last year, when I ended up at the Expanded Public Works Summit, you could see that this internship program was being implemented by the department, because they were allowed to actually assist people and give out information, etc. So that's how I learned that the internship program was actually happening. The other one was that they actually took up 31 curriculum vitae CDs, and they offered these youth internships. And basically there's 26 were matriculant learners, and 3 of them were basically busy with these degrees in technology and public work, public management, in a diploma in mechanical engineering, and a diploma in electrical engineering. So that is the thing, how they were able to actually absorb at least 31 youth and provide them with skills in these areas. From there, I looked at social infrastructure, and the reason I looked at the social infrastructure is again to do with goals, the Millennium Development Goals. It was Goal 2 and 3, which are related to educational outcomes, and MDG 7, which is related to health. At the bottom of the page, it basically indicates the 8 Millennium Development Goals. Eradicating extreme poverty and hunger, which is what I said the department's main focus is on Millennium Development Goal 1, which is this related to this area. But then I looked at achieving universal primary education, promote gender equality and empowerment of women, and then the seventh one is to do with the health, which is reducing child mortality, improving maternal health, combating HIV/AIDS, as well as malaria and other diseases. The reason I focused on those is because a large portion of money is actually set aside for infrastructure development in these areas, in terms of hospitals and schools, and then of course the two universities that have been proposed. So we're saying that a total of $36.3 billion has been allocated for the construction and improvement maintenance of schools, as well as building these two universities. And we're just saying the National Treasury, in its estimates of E&E, the review, the expenditure framework, is basically indicating that they have allocated $23.9 billion towards building new schools and upgrading and maintaining these existing structures. Then a total of $50 billion was allocated to the Department of Health, and there are 5 hospitals that they're actually going to either upgrade or rehabilitate resources. And one of them is Barakwana and the Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital. So when we move along to the next one, which is related to, this is on the following page, eradicating mud schools and unsafe structures. This, of course, was one of the areas that Public Works has an interest in, because one of its entities, the Independent Development Trust, is one of the implementing agents on behalf of the department. Basically, for education, they often use this old document, the 2006 one, to indicate how many unsafe structures and mud schools there were from 2006, and how they're supposed to actually move from that high number to actually lowering them. It has been very difficult to actually get the actual numbers and how it's actually being reduced. I was trying to actually get hold of my colleague in basic education, but with a time constraint, didn't manage it, but I will follow up to see if I can get a report from him in terms of how many unsafe structures have actually been dealt with in my schools to date. But the portfolio committee went on oversight into the Eastern Cape, and that is where this innovative technologies was being used by the Independent Development Trust. The reason they did this is because of the huge scale of these unsafe structures in mud schools. They needed to come up with a means of actually building schools faster. But one of the things that the portfolio committee did stress was, we don't know how the lifespan of this technology is in comparison to conventional infrastructure, and also how the two areas of the expanded public works program, the requirement of using labor intensive methods, and that they also need skills development. So that was a major concern for the committee in terms of those issues, that it is desirable that these schools are built as quickly as possible, but then also it is desirable to use labor-intensive methods and transfer skills. So it's a balancing act that actually has to be looked at. The issue that I looked at was fraud and corruption, because this has been a reoccurring theme in the State of the Nation addresses. And what I basically did was I looked at what the department presented in its annual report in terms of issues related to fraud and corruption in the department and how they're actually trying to deal with it. At the time, there was a total of 98 misconduct and disciplinary hearings, and according to the Auditor General, there was also poor management and performance, failure to disclose financial interests, and failure to comply with policies and procedures. There were also contravention of Treasury regulations, which was basically a failure to follow tender and supply chain management processes, and there were also investigations about allegations of financial misconduct by officials. And that leads disciplinary hearings in all instances held financial misconduct that had been committed by officials. So the department presented to the Portfolio Committee in August last year, where they were indicating how they will deal with some of these issues. And one of them was their strategy against fraud and corruption, and also how they've indicated that there will be a dedicated fraud awareness and investigation unit, which is within the public service, and which forms part of the public service anti-corruption strategy. The role of this unit was actually also mentioned by the Minister of Public Works and Administration. She indicated that there will be a anti-corruption bureau that will be created, and this will deal with major cases of financial and misconduct in the public sector. It also indicated that this bureau will be assisted by the Special Investigating Unit, and that other law enforcement agencies will also have power and authority to investigate across all government. So finally, there's a few points in terms of what the implications are for Parliament for 2013. This is just basically trying to indicate where the committee can focus their attention, stemming from the 2013 State of the Nation address. So one of the things is that for public works and the expanded public works program is to actually ensure that the uptake of the incentive grant, particularly by low capacity municipalities, increases. We also need to, as a committee, observe the implementation of and the utilization of labor intensive methods on all construction projects. This doesn't mean that machine-based technologies cannot be used, but more effort should actually put in place to use labor intensive methods. The other issue, which is actually not in the document but has come up often from the department side, is that they do not receive proper reports from these implementing bodies, which makes it very difficult for them to actually look at the actual the manner in which the program has actually worked, its successes, because they often receive some of these reports after the closing date for the incentive grant, which makes it difficult for them to actually put a report, a progress report together. And I think one of the things they also said is if municipalities do not report on time, they're unable to actually access the incentive grant. Then we say that that Parliament should also monitor the reopening of the department's workshops and the training of young people as artisans, for example, in these workshops. The other issue is to do with the eradication again of mudslides. by this use of innovative technology, and Parliament should also be provided with constant updates on the current turnaround strategy within the department. It is acknowledged that the turnaround strategy is a long-term one and that progress on it, informational progress on it will actually be a long process, an extended time period. So you can't actually say from last year necessarily the progress, in especially, for example, with leases and tenders, etc., has been finalized. Then the final thing was the department needs to actually report them on how it's implementing its anti-fraud and corruption strategy. They did mention that they actually have had workshops with officials and to actually across the board from the head office to the regional offices to actually inform the officials about what's required and what the strategy involves, the anti-corruption strategy. The last one, which is probably too broad a thing, and I don't think we'll get actual data on it, is the possibility of recovering the funds that the minister created. So that is the issues related to the State of the Nation Address for 2013. Thank you.
Thank you, Ines. Honourable members, that's the presentation on the State of the Nation Address. Can we engage with the presentation by Ines? Honourable Dreyer, also followed by Honourable November, Honourable Nyongwane, Honourable Swate, Honourable Nogubani, Honourable Matropa, Honourable Sitole, Honourable Mwanyamari.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ines. It's very enlightening. A lot of hard work went into it. I want to focus on two areas. The one is the figures or the percentages of the unemployed youth. Now, you break it down into the provinces and then also in some cases in Gauteng into areas within the province. That's the same for KwaZulu-Natal. Mm-hmm. Now, then it looks like, for example, the West Rand, I'm going to use that example, my constituency, the West Rand, is one of the lowest, in fact, in Gauteng.
Mm-hmm.
But is that because the population in the West Rand is much lower? There are fewer people in the West Rand than in the huge Johannesburg metro area. So obviously, there will be fewer unemployed youth in the West Rand than in Joburg. But if you compare just the West Rand by itself, and you say that of all the people living in the West Rand, how many are unemployed youth, then maybe you get a bigger percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be interesting to compare it with itself, to see how many out of the total population in the West Rand are unemployed youth. Is it possible, do you have those figures, and could you give that to us as well? I think it will add value to us. And the same thing also to the provinces. You know, for example, the Northern Cape, it says 2.3%, but then we know how the Northern Cape doesn't have very many people. It's got a very small population compared to KwaZulu-Natal, who I think is the most populous. But compared to Northern Cape itself, how many of the Northern Cape population are unemployed youth? Then we might get a much higher figure there, if that's possible. Then the second issue is under fraud and corruption. Now, they tell us here, you tell us that the department has finalized a total of 98 misconduct and finalized. So what does finalized mean? Sometimes they say now it's, you know, they finalize because something happened and they can't finish it, so the file has been closed. Maybe the member resigned, or somebody withdrew the complaint, or something like that. Is that finalized, or what exactly does finalized mean? Because what I'm interested in is, has it been brought to its final conclusion? So there was a hearing, there was a finding, and there was a penalty if the person was found guilty. Because we're interested in actual consequences to people who misbehave or make themselves guilty of financial misconduct. And the penalties are very, very important, because that sends out the message that the department and the government is, in fact, serious about rooting out corruption. So I just want to get clarity on that matter. Thank you very much.
You want to answer now?
Yeah, because then I see him too. In terms of the percentages that you mentioned for the West Rand, we can look into that because you can actually, with the database, go right down to, you know, the regional level, etc. So I can look into that and actually just send the report. The issue of the fraud and corruption and the finalization of misconduct is actually a department issue. I can answer that. They would, as the department, have to actually give you a proper follow-up information. The only information that we did get was on the 12th of August from the department, where the minister indicated issues that were preventing the department from finalizing certain cases, especially ones that were related to the former DGE, the former DGE, Sakena, etc. So this just comes from their annual report, and I think we can only request that the department actually produce an update in as part of the presentation to the government. And you also indicated in terms of the population, if we actually break that down to see that there are higher percentages, and also in relation to the area that if the population is actually smaller, what that could mean. So that is also something that we can look at. Because when we look at Stats SA and data, I think you know with statistics, it can give you a whole range of information depending on what question you ask. So these are just broad strokes, because it's also dependent on the sample that was taken in terms of the census. The same thing with the labor force survey. It's a sample of what of the information that they receive, and then they break it down in terms of the different areas and departments. So that I can actually look into and give a report on that, just so you can go.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thank you, Inet, for such a clever work. You know, you've done it here, so it is really very much clear. And secondly, you know that you're not asking the person that knows a lot about what is the department that should have been here. But anyway, my concern is around the year ending of municipalities and the year ending of us. Is it also not a problem? Because the year starts the 1st of July, our start is the 1st of April. That's one thing that I think that we did talk about it at some stage, but that one is also one part that I think that municipalities also have a problem. Secondly, is I think with all these beautiful programs, your turnaround strategies and everything, one is just wondering whether we've got enough warm bodies to monitor these beautiful things that have been said in all documents, or to make a success on the turnaround strategy. Because we've said it nationally, provincially, but when you come to the regions, you know, it's amper like null perfect. Sorry for that one. You know, so one is just wondering that the warm bodies that have to monitor all these beautiful things that are happening. That is one concern. And the last one is also about the internship. Is this gospel being spread enough down to the rural areas? Because you'll find that let me make an example of Ilali Emachongwe. They don't even know about the internship, and these things are the things that can help them go forward. is the message being spread. And if you go to those kids, you will learn that they very much good in mathematics and in everything. So my worry is just that the gospel, does it really go through up to the rural areas? Yes, yeah, up and up, up, it's okay. But deep down there. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My first question also was around the percentages in the Free State, in the Eastern Province. I think it could be because of the influx of all those people from the rural areas to big cities like Gauteng. They've got a lot of unemployed people. I wanted to, but you've already explained. Secondly, it's about the the 30 billion that has been allocated to the health department. My experience with these big monies that are allocated to these metros is that they are not properly monitored. You remember when we went to Paraguanas? Actually, Paraguanas was much better than the other one. The first hospital we went to in Soweto, the one that was rebuilt, it was built from scratch for 300 million. And when you spoke about the either the BEE or the labor intensive, they would just look at you and say, no, this is very technical. We can't afford to have those. I think we need monitoring at that level, or the provincial offices need to monitor that. Because we talk and talk and then nothing happens. And then when we go around doing oversight, we're really surprised by some of the things that are happening at provincial and municipal level. Unless that is monitored, maybe we could give that to the regional offices of public works to make sure that these things happen. Because we talk about job creation, and then when we get the big machines that are doing all the jobs, the big jobs that should have been done by the people. Also on the under fraud and corruption, I think we are really not properly informed about this. This impacts negatively to our portfolio committee, but we don't get the proper report. I remember last week I posed a question to Mr. Pillay, and he really avoided it, but I just let it go, about how many corrupt officials are behind the bars. It's like with the SIU, and thereafter nothing, you don't hear anything. And it is a concern, because it's like what's done is done, that the people is dismissed and then nothing happens. And coming to the point about the recovery of the amount of money that has been corruptly inherited, it has nothing, you don't hear anything as to what is really happening. I think as far as the mass schools and other unsafe structures in the rural areas, IDT is doing a very good job. But we have to balance, because in the first place we've got a lot of mass schools, but they have to use that social thing about having the training the communities. And but my main worry is about the Department of Education that gives a bulk amount of money to these big companies, and I don't know how they monitor those big funds. That really defeats our aim of employment of the youth. Thanks. It's really a good. You did a good job on this one. Thank you very, very much. Actually, you always do, but this one is excellent.
Just to answer Ms. Melinda's question, the committee did bring up the issue of the municipality year versus the national. So I think that was an issue that the committee actually asked the department to investigate, what the possibility was. But they did indicate that they make provision for the year end of municipality, because they know when these municipalities receive their money and when and how they actually work. They did make provision for that. I think that was from Mr. Henderson under the ECDC. I think we can actually try and get more information from the department in terms of how far they are. And I think the other thing would be National Treasury in terms of that information. The turnaround strategy and how many people are actually there and required in the city. The only thing that we could say about that is the department has indicated that it came to fill its vacancy so that this actually can work. And money has been put aside for the turnaround strategy, specifically that's in the budget, so that information can be there from the money. But I think the answer as well is the department's answer, because they'll be able to indicate how they're actually implementing the turnaround strategy and how they've managed to fill the post that they have found. Because that would be probably different from filling the vacancies within the department itself and also filling these new positions to ensure that the turnaround strategy actually happens. So the department will be able to answer that one. The internships to rural areas, the one that I do know about is the National Youth Service under the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. So the department can't unfortunately answer the issue related to how they actually trickle down their internships to the rural areas. And then, as I say, the other one that is actually known is the one under rural development and land reform. I cannot give more information than that. For Ms. Nguyen, you were indicating the 50 billion that's given to the health department and how this is being monitored, as well as the state we found in terms of Jabulani Guadalupe. That is actually a matter for the provincial department of public works, because I think they were also given the committee made some recommendations to them. One of them was that they must ensure that persons with disabilities are actually put onto these projects, that the expanded public works requirements should form part of the contracts that are signed, and that I think we could only know from either national departments if they receive information from the provincial department how these projects are actually being monitored subsequent to the portfolio committee's visit to housing. The MUD schools and the IEP, I think you're indicating that these large amounts of money are given by the department itself to other big contractors. The thing was that the committee also found, which the department presented to it, one of its challenges was that both the Department of Education and Health actually had created their own Department of Public Works, and that they were attempting to actually do the work that public works is supposed to do. The committee also made a few recommendations with regard to that, and I think the department itself
also indicated what steps they're trying to take to ensure that the work that public works has to do must actually be done by the department and not in many public works departments. So I think in that instance, the department has also indicated what kind of interaction they've had with the health department and the Department of Education. Those are just the ones that were known to actually be doing this. So there might be more, and the department will be able to present that information. The issue of the recovery of money, unfortunately, I think it's a department issue. It's out there. It's possible, I think, depending on some of the reports that come through, that come from the department or from other, like the SIU, etc., when they finalize the investigation, they would be able to indicate if this is a shift where there actually is a possibility of recovering the money that has either been misappropriated or misspent. However, that's happened. I'm trying to see if I actually know.
Did you follow up?
Actually, maybe to a corner. Can you get that list of municipalities and the amount of incentive grant that they were given, and then those that managed to use it to a certain extent, and those that didn't get it. But it also falls under that. Okay, because you got it from the portfolio committee of school, the one that is headed by Mr. Sokol.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Ines, for the work and the research work that you actually have done for us and actually to give us the light. My first question is actually my question of clarity is with regard to the issue of skills. Can we exactly say, or can we really say that in terms of the EPWP, the people who have been involved, can we really say that they actually acquired the skills that they can use thereafter? Because some of the works that they've been doing there for 2-3 months. So I just want to find out from the research point of view as to whether can we say that those people actually received the skills that they can actually utilize in their life. And also on the issue of the aim of EPWP was actually to create about 4.5 million job opportunities by 2040. But in terms of the figures that you have just given us, it shows that we, from 2009 to 2012, so far they have managed to actually create 2.6 million job opportunities. If I may ask, do you think that can we actually reach or achieve this target in 2040, the remaining number? Because now for 3 years we actually had to come to 2.6 million and we are, the target is 4.5 million by 2040. So can we actually have that confidence that we can reach the target by 2040? And then on the issue of mass schools, I'm interested in terms of the research, if really we in terms of what you have just indicated, is the department actually chasing numbers, or is it actually using that program actually to empower or to give young people the opportunity to be employed? In terms of that new technology, because if we are chasing the number, or we are actually empowering young people to get that required skills to be used in the future. And then also on the social infrastructure, this is the last one, where it actually it shows that about 36.3 billion has been allocated for construction and maintenance and the building of university. So I just want to actually to find out here, how is this going to actually help the young people, or is it going to be possible for them to enter into that market so that they can be employed, and how many people can we anticipate to be involved in this kind of a program? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of the questions have been answered. I mean, have been asked by my colleagues here, so I can no longer deal with them. So, the first thing to deal with is the deteriorating roads. In most cases, we find that the municipalities give tenders to friends and buddies. As a result of that, those people are not well trained. They've got no idea as to how to fill potholes. What is it that the department is going to do to stop these things? Because they shall have to sit on the municipalities. Whenever there are tenders, they should see to it that the tenders are given to experienced people. Another issue. Umzimvubu River. Umzimvubu River is running between two regions. That is Alfrenzo and Sisonke. Is it going to supply water or any work to these two regions, or it will deal with the Eastern Cape only? The third one, the unemployment, youth unemployment. But on page, there are about 2.2 million work opportunities since 2009 in EPWP. But now, this didn't start in 2009. It started earlier than that. I think it was 2006 or 2005. It is wrong for us to say that the number at 2009 was 2.6. It should be bigger than this. I'm moving to on the municipalities where I'm a district municipalities where you see the figures being stated here, and I doubt very much whether they are correct or not, unless the figures which are here were collected by the field workers. For instance, in my region, Sisonke, they say there are 35,112 unemployed youth, which is not correct. Because if you go ward by ward, you could get more than this. So if at all it was collected from district municipality offices, they would always give them a wrong figures.
especially when they're busy on these roads, that some of that they do get skills, they do have work of longer duration. But on other projects, it's very difficult to actually indicate that this is the kind of skill that people receive. I think the other one, the proof of waste, is just trying to get people to have people who are who don't have work, to actually give them some work opportunity. The other one is, and I think it's related to Mr. Magubani's question, that in terms of roads, there is the project of access roads that has been undertaken, where ordinary people are given an opportunity to actually monitor these roads and actually to ensure that where it's required, the roads are actually taken. The 4.5 million target, and I think it's also related to Mr. Markovani's question about saying that the number of work opportunities, because the program started in 2004, you can't say that they've only reached this number. The reason why they've only reached this number is because it's in the second five-year phase of the expanded public works program. Phase one was supposed to actually create 1 million work opportunities. They did reach that target and they actually exceeded it by 300,000. So they did reach it and they did actually exceed what was required, but that's phase one. This is phase two, where they've got a new target, this 4.5 million. I think one of the things that when we look at the current report is that the final, according to the department, and I think when Mr. Henderson reported, he was saying that there's a whole, I think it was something like 80,000 work opportunities that still have to be verified. So the way they work is that their reporting is a quarter behind, because you need to get the information, verify it, etc., and then report. So only the department can answer this, but there are possibilities that they'll be able to reach the target because they reached the first one, but I mean this one is so massive that only the department will be able to indicate whether they'll reach that target or not. They have indicated where they are now, 60% of the total that they need to reach, but as I say, also they've got a quarter worth of information that they have to actually verify and then report on. In my school, if these young people are actually given opportunities, the conventional construction of school does provide work opportunities and skills development, which is what we've also found when we've gone and oversight. It also allows for contractors who are on the CIDB register of contractors to actually be employed as a contractor. I think we looked at one that was a grade 2 contractor, but there were a lot of issues surrounding that, especially with the miscommunication between the contractor and the engineer on the project. But we have found that there, when you use conventional construction methods, there is opportunity because you have the painters, etc., bricklayers who actually obtain that skill. Whether the mat schools will provide in terms of these innovative technologies, we have to evaluate it later on, because this was a pilot project. The Eastern Cape, they've only piloted 10 of these projects, which is what the IDT reported on. So those were in their implementing phase, so we can only receive report on how effective the skills development and other requirements are actually carried out. Just from the portfolio committee's perspective, there was, as I indicated, this concern that the skill that they're receiving is to put it together. It's like huge already frames that just must be put together, and that would be one of the issues that the IDT could respond more clearly on. The social infrastructure. Sorry, I did not get that one correct. Something about construction and maintenance assisting young people. I just missed that. Let me finish with Mr. Madhubani and then I can come back to that one. The only other one is you indicated about the tenders, etc. That is an issue for the regional department and the department itself, and I think that forms part of its turnaround strategy to improve on its tendering systems and things like that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, last year, that power which was given to the regional offices was actually taken back up to the national office. But I think that you call all the departments and actually give a correct answer to that. The Umzimbuzo River and the region, I don't have actual information on that, but I can actually find out exactly what is the intention behind that. So I can actually get that information in this document where I actually also owe information. So I'm sorry, Mr. Swati, I cannot remember what your question was about social infrastructure.
Remember, the question was, is the department chasing numbers
now? Oh, yes.
Or creating skills for young people?
Yeah. That is very difficult to say, just in terms of some oversight. We have seen that skills are developed, but on the other instance, we've also seen that numbers are of importance. And one of the projects where we saw that was where the contractor itself, the project manager, indicated that the people are employed for a month and then they get another batch of people for a month, etc. And then Mr. Henderson was saying that when they actually go and find out, when they monitor, this is where the numbers sometimes are inflated and they've actually made provision for that in the report.
Can I also come on that one? Mr. Swart, I think the department was not changing numbers. The two schools that we visited, there was a need for that area to have a school. There were reasons given. There was a serious need. And then the department decided on the new technology, innovative technologies, by building that school. But our concern as a portfolio committee was that the lifespan of that project, especially we're doubting the floor that was made there. So how long is that floor going to last? And we're given an assurance of that, of saying that school will take plus minus 25 years, it will last for 25 years. I don't think it was a matter of chasing numbers. There was a need, especially in that area, for those kids to have schools. We saw the buildings that they left. Updated building there. If you remember, there was a small building at the back of
the school. Yes, that was a Willow Bay school.
That was a Willow Bay school.
Yes.
And it was not good for education for kids to undergo to learn under those buildings. That's why there was that need of pushing that there be a school there. And also, I'll also cover the bridge. There was one bridge that was constructed by
SANDF.
It's a very, very big river.
Yeah, that's true. That's That is Umzimbabwe River.
Yeah, a very big river. Yeah. And they constructed this makeshift
bridge.
Bridge, the one that moves. Only people can use that bridge, but cars can use that bridge. We went through the bridge, crossed through the bridge, and the good thing with that bridge was that communities where some of the community members from the traditional leaders area, we trained how to service that bridge. It was for emergency purposes because kids couldn't go to school. People could not access clinic, and it was not. So those are some of the things that we raised as a portfolio committee. There was that need of the bridge and the school in Mlo. It was not chasing numbers. It was a thorough need. I still have pictures of that bridge. If you are interested, I can show you the bridge.
No, thanks, Chair. I think we have covered. I wanted to come to it before I go to this, but you have covered it very well. I want to check on the issue of these 15 to 25 years, or to 24 years, unemployed. This statistic, is it something that we need to put on the unemployment statistics, or is something for the school, the kid that has dropped school? Because 15 years, you know, I think it's a person that is supposed to be at school.
Yes.
Up to 23, you must be in the university level. But it's just, you know, pushing the numbers for unemployed unnecessary, because the target must be to focus on those kids that are not at school and bring them back and have a back-to-school campaign for these ages, because I don't think it's correct to put them as unemployed people when they are supposed to be at school. But I want to check on the number, 2.6. this statistic, is it for EPWP or is it for formal work? Does it include formal work? Or it also includes informal work? On the EPWP job creation, if it is included here, what duration of work is it included in the statistic? I'm saying this because the research is correctly indicating that the alternative method has reduced the duration of work. Others are working for 3 weeks. Do we also record 3 weeks, or is a full-time equivalent that we record? Because to me, if you still record 3 weeks, it doesn't make any difference to an individual when you work for 3 weeks. So if maybe, I know that maybe Inez cannot clarify that, maybe the department may indicate. Because I think, Honorable Chair, we must set maybe a level to say which statistics are we going to include to this. Because 2 weeks, I don't think it's really fair to say you have created the work. Secondly, I want to check on the issue of this statistic 2.6. The statistics also indicate that 68,000 jobs has been lost. Has been lost. Do we still calculate that we have for 2.6, irrespective whether there were jobs that were lost? Because to me, if there is a leakage, you know, you put water in a leakage, you can't count that I have water when it's gone already. Maybe if one can get clarity on that. And also on the issue of the mud school and unsafe structure, I think we must make a proposal that the department must really submit a status quo report on the mud and unsafe structure, so that we know exactly, starting from 2006 to date, to say how many schools has been built from 2006 to date, and also to understand the skills that were transferred when those schools were built, and the type of skills, as well as the number of jobs that were created. You know, if we get the type of skills transferred, it will assist us to know that they are really creating a job, you know. Because during the oversight, you'll recall that in Limpopo, we were told that no, they have been given skills, but they are picking up stones, you know. Picking up stones and creating skills are two different things. So these are some of the things that I think we need to really request a report. Also, there is a great concern around the issue of fraud and corruption, Honorable Chair. As a portfolio committee, I think we applaud the government for increasing the budget to fight the corruption in this budget that they announced. But the budget alone, if we don't follow up as a portfolio committee, to know exactly how many people that has been prosecuted and prevented, name and shame, so that they cannot fraud and corrupt a government in this department and they are employed in the next department. I think these are some of the things that we must be hard on as a portfolio committee. I think we applaud you, Ines, for coming up with this recommendation, because we must get a report, a progress report. We know that the minister presented a report in August, but it can't be just quiet and we keep quiet and said we got a report. We want to know, we want them to be named and shamed, so that the nation knows that as portfolio committee, we really represent their interests. Because this corruption really prevents the government to fast-track the service delivery. Because the money that is supposed to be allowing the service delivery are taken up by these things that are taking the money for government. I think it's something that we must be hard on in the portfolio committee to say that we really follow up on those particular matters. I think, Honorable Chair, the recommendations that Ines has made, I think one fully supports that these are must be the starting point to make a follow-up. And on the issue of corruption, really, we must all join hands to fight it. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable
Stroller?
Honorable Chair, I
thank you, Chair President. Chairperson, first of all, we must thank the President of the Board. Actually, I think there is no need for us to question her, because she was just giving us the analysis and the information. Because now we have the information, we have to make some avenue now that how are we going to approach and approach the Department. Because to ask ourselves, just like we are asking ourselves, because it's part of us. But my chair is the avenue that we have, the power that we have as a portfolio committee to implement what has been highlighted here. To have any power, because sometimes we talk, but there is no follow-up, there is no implementation, there is nothing that we are doing. What can we do? Because if we are talking about the unemployment, the ticking bomb in the country. If you are talking about the what you call the corruption, you see the information of that 98 misconduct, 98% staff that has been misconduct and matter administration. Sometimes if we can make some follow up to SIU, how far have they gone now? Because we are facing with a problem, because this thing of saying we found a report, we read a report, we know what is happening, but no follow-up, no implementation, there is nothing that we receive as a portfolio committee. I think, Chairperson, we must have some strategy. How are we going to follow up to this? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I'm covered by Honorable Member Tolley that the information is going to assist us when dealing with the budget vote for the department, because we are going to ask questions that Ines will not be able to respond to. I think this was the information that was arming us so that we can be able to make comparison and identify the challenges that are within the department with regards to various areas that have been identified. But Chair, I think I was just looking at the I did a document. One matter that has been raised by the president was the issue of the overuse of consultants. I think it was a cut-crossing matter in all the departments. I think that is the issue that you can request in us to just consider it for us, so that when we in debate, you can be able to highlight some of the issues. And the other one, Chair, I think the issue of the feedback is the issue that has been highlighted, that, you know, we had the departmental reports, we have got reports of the site visit, but thereafter then what do we do? How do we give feedback to those people that we have been here as a committee? For instance, we went to Free State, to various provinces, but what feedback are we giving back to those people that we met there? Then coming on the issue of the quantity, I think the issue of the quantity to me here on the report is on the EPWP, because this project is aimed at alleviating poverty and unemployment. So whether the figures can be high or low, but we need just to consider what impact did the project change the lives of the people. Because if we're just looking at the figures, then officials would rush for figures while knowing very well that the project doesn't change the lives of the people, because they only gave us the target. The cut target is 12,000. Then we have reached 12,000 or 18,000. Then we just clap hands. Yeah, yes, you have made it. But what impact did that make in changing the lives of the people? Because we have to make sure that we're fighting hunger, poverty, and unemployment. Then the last one, Chair, I think just a highlight on the issue of the infrastructure. But while we're talking of infrastructural development, on the other side, we need to link that with the maintenance plan, because most of our facilities are deteriorated. So while we build, we have to balance building and maintaining. Rather than continue building, then after 100 years we don't maintain, we come back to the same facility, you know, to rebuild it or to maintain it. While we build, we have to make sure that on the other side we balance. Chairperson, I think that is it, but most of the questions, I think, will be the questions that will be related to the department, or to me, this is just the information that is arming us to be able to deal with the departmental budget vote, so that you can see that the issues that have been highlighted by the president, did the department consider them when drawing their operational plan? How was the budget? Is the budget linked to the issues that were raised by the president? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I firstly want to say thanks to Ines, because she is arming us with this research information for us to be able to question the department, not to question her. But then I want us as a portfolio committee to follow, I want to support the members who are saying that about the crime in the department. I think we need to know more exactly what is happening, because there's an amount of money set aside to fight corruption in certain departments. And the president in his address say that he has signed 34 proclamations directed to ICU to investigate allegations of corruption. Maybe for us as a portfolio committee, we need to know that out of these 34, how many are directed to the Department of Public Works? Also that 203 accused persons in 67 priority cases under investigation by end of September 2012. All such things as a portfolio committee, we need to know how many of those in the Department of Public Works, so that we can be able now to follow the track of the corruption in the department itself. Thanks, Congress.
Thank you, Mama. Are we all done? I just want to raise one issue that concerns me. The utilization utilization of CETA by our children. I'm raising this because this year in the Limpopo, kids were recruited by CETA to go and sit for aptitude tests. Where they go and write this aptitude test, after 3 or 4 days they get their results. And those who made it in the aptitude test were all channels to the SET colleges for training for a year. To say, are our kids utilizing this facility? And if our kids are utilizing this facility, I don't think we'll have problems of youth unemployment. Mm. Because while undergoing teacher training for a year, you get a stipend of 1,600, if I'm not mistaken, for you to be able to provide whatever you need as a student. You say we need to emphasize on the usage of CETA. Put our people in the know of what CETA is all about. Because if we can make sure that our kids know about CETA, a lot of youth problems will be solved. That's my problem. To say we are not saying a lot about CETA to the grassroots.
What do you mean by CETA?
Can somebody
explain?
Because kids were recruited this very end of January, and they went for training in February. And now, as I'm talking, they have been allocated to FET colleges according to their categorized by the aptitude test to say this one will be good in engineering, this one will be good in bricklaying, and that's how they were interviewed. Honorable my apologies, my brother.
Oh, sorry.
And Honorable Stolle, Honorable Swati.
Thanks, Chef. Just a follow-up on the issue that you have just raised. My question is around the information. Does it filter down to the ground?
That's what I'm also asking.
How can we know? Is it possible maybe for the speakers to give us information?
But the Honorable Minister, the demand, always talks about, in his debate, always talks about CETA.
The information, that's the main thing, is the information.
No, okay. I think also in our constituents' offices we must deal with it. Like in my constituents, we have collected the kids that have completed matrix, and then we refer them to the FET colleges too, because there is a bursary for those kids that are indigent. So it's an information that the Department of Higher Education always talk about, and we must discuss with it. And in our structures also we discuss about it. I think it's something that we must take down, because the minister always talk about it.
Yeah, in fact, I also wanted to ask about the information, because now you indicated that happened in Limpopo, and Limpopo is very big. Yeah, but I'm not sure as to whether it also covered the whole of Limpopo. And also what I've also learned is it was that we've got some federal FET in my constituency. But before they can actually take a child that they want, that child to pay for before they accept that child. And then the person can also apply for NSFAS and all those other things. So I'm not sure, but I think we need to get the information correct, so that before we can take the information back to the community, we must have the correct information. Otherwise, we might say things that are not...
Can we Google? Can we agree that we Google and get this information? If we can Google, can you please get us information?
Yes. To assist also, Chair, to assist what you do as a member, you identify indigent on time, not that when the school is open, you just bring the school. I've got an indigent list of the families and the kids, you know. And then you go to negotiate to say these people, even I went with the chairperson of the board in the FEC to look at those particular kids prior before the schools open. So it's a work that you have to do as a constituency work, you know, in hidden people, you talk to them, because even though there is that chance for them to go to the FET, it's not all of them that can be accommodated. So that's why it's proper that you negotiate, you go to each and every, you say, these are indigent kids that can't have. I think I channel 10 this year.
Members, are there any follow-up? Can we provide Akona with that information and be sent to honorable members? Sita and the FET, how it's done and all that. Please, ne?
And the criteria for
qualification.
The fraud and corruption crisis.
I thought today's briefing was to capacitate us and prepare us for the debate today, so that she opens up to say these are the issues for public works, the 13 issues that she listed on page 1. Those are the issues that we must concentrate on, and then we further do our work around this issue. I thought the two honourable members there really to say, and Mama there, the three of them, to say this is to prepare us for the debate.
Do you have a problem with what I said?
No, I don't have any problem.
Because fraud and corruption is part of it, as in the presentation by Inez. And we all agreed with each other. Various members brought up the fact that we don't have updated figures. You know, August last year you mentioned, and we don't know what they mean by finalization, of the case being withdrawn or the file got lost or whatever. We want to know the end result and how many people...
That will be a debate.
Yes, but we want more information, updated information, because the information here is not complete and not updated. It's not up to date.
November?
I think we've said a lot. This one we can close and go forward. Because Ines won't be able to answer the department's questions. She is just armed us. We're armed now to go forward. Thank you.
Any other? Without any addition and subtraction, I think we have come to... Oh, there's just something that Akona would like to say.
Thank you, Chair. There are documents that we have circulated to members, small booklets. Those, the construction code is documents that members requested from last week's meeting, and the members were not in the meeting, we circulate on their fusion hall. And also the committee has an invitation from the CBE, whereby the minister in the CBE invites members to attend the built environment in Daba that will be held next Good Friday in Johannesburg. So I will liaise with members individually to see their attendance while also waiting for the approval from the House Chairperson and the Chief Whip for members' attendance. But if members are able to indicate, maybe after the meeting, if they are available on that particular day, they can please do so with myself and for your cards. Thanks, members.
Thank you. Wanya Mabila?
They specify the number of members that they are inviting.
All the committee members. Thank you, Akona. Without any addition, I think we've come to the end of our meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
honourable members, there are drinks over there. Honourable members, attention, honourable members, there are drinks over there. Those drinks won't be taken back. Can have one. Please.
And I need two bottles of water, not this one. Only water.
Tole. How many people are going to go to the club?
Thank you.